Let's open up our Bibles tonight. And if you would, open up to Revelation chapter 7. And tonight we're moving on to that third company that is seen in heaven. It's the largest company of all. It's known as the innumerable multitude. And without further delay, let's go ahead and read from the seventh chapter and the ninth verse. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yeah. Now, first off, I want to comment here and emphasize that this company of believers, here in the 14th verse, it says that they came out of great tribulation. And I thank the Lord as we begin this study into this next company. And again, it's only the Spirit of the Lord. This isn't something that we do in our own study and in our minds and things of that nature. We know it's by His Spirit. But these are magnificent things to see. These are wonderful evidences of what Christ has for us and the opportunity and the purpose. And this all comes alive, brothers and sisters, because of Paul's gospel. We understand through Paul's gospel that Jesus Christ will have a wife, and he is searching for his wife right now. That Holy Ghost is preparing that one and guiding them into all truth, and someday to all truth, meaning as she lights off the camel and he comes running across the field to get her. Praise be to God. See, it's all there, isn't it? But Paul's gospel opens up Revelation. Just like Paul's gospel, praise God, opens up the whole Old Testament for us. Puts it in living color, alive in our hearts, and rejoicing. But right off the bat here in the 14th verse, it's emphasized that these saints come out of great tribulation. And I want to clarify that, yes, they come out of the seven-year tribulation, brothers and sisters. And this is important to note. But they do not go into the great tribulation part of the tribulation. I'm sure most here have studied and have heard this many times. But the tribulation is a seven-year period of time. It's coming. It could start at any moment. Thanks be to God. And it will start with the blast of the first trump. And praise God, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Be with the Lord in the air. Forever to be with the Lord. Now, that will be the beginning of that time. And it is a seven-year period of time, that tribulation. But the part of the great tribulation, you talk about the woe of woes. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And these saints, this company of believers, is raptured out of this tribulation period of the 7-year time somewhere between that first and third year of the tribulation. You don't want to go into that no matter, but I just want to really make note that it is not during the great tribulation part of the tribulation. And the reason that we know this, brothers and sisters, is they are taken out here and seen in heaven in Revelation chapter 7. See, the Antichrist has not been given full authority. The Battle of Armageddon hasn't obviously even started to begin. And both of those which occur in the latter half or the last three and a half years or the Great Tribulation. Now, I want you to note the words they come out of there in the 14th verse. These saints are raptured out of the tribulation. Very clear that this is the largest company of believers, and here they come out at that time. We understand and have rejoiced last week and the week before that the four living ones, the full overcomer company that will be the bride of Christ, as we read there in Revelation chapter 4, we know that they are kept from entering into the tribulation at all. We know that this is the Philadelphia company. We read of them in Revelation chapter 3. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, or the tribulation that shall come upon the world. And we know that that wonderful bridal company will be raptured out at that time, and they will not enter into the tribulation. So we know very clearly in the word of God that that is a company that will be in the midst of the throne with him, ruling and reigning with him. And this company of this innumerable multitude is very different. Going back to the four living ones, we know that they are the company, as I just mentioned, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that are taken up at the sound of the first trump blast. But sadly, this innumerable multitude company, they're the ones that go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. They're the ones that are sleeping, that are not awake, that, as the Word of God says, you shouldn't be that because you're not of them. You're children of the light. But if you don't want to be ready and loving his appearing, the thief's going to come in the night. And you will miss that opportunity to be raptured in that first trumpet company, which again is the four living ones. Now, you know, if you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's of note to mention that last verse. And we've studied it out before, but I think it gives it such sweet evidence. And you can hear the longing of the Lord for people to wake up. But if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll just read from the 5th verse there. It says, ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. See, it doesn't say you're not going to sleep. It just says don't let yourself sleep. Don't be drunken at this time. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. And brothers and sisters, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, that word wrath is made very clear of what he's talking about there. If you go back to the 10th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise God. See, we're not made for that. We're not intended for that. We're not even intended by God's grace to enter into even the beginning of that judgment time, which is the 7-year tribulation. But he says there, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that again is to be raptured out there as those that would be like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection. Amen? Amen. So, we see his longing for us to take that place and not have to go into that time of sorrow. But as we go on in thinking about this, I encourage you not to be confused in the thinking that these innumerable multitude saints are made up only of believers that are alive at the time of the Lord's coming who missed his best at his coming. That's just a small portion of the innumerable multitude. There's many that teach that. Do you know that? That it's just the ones that would enter into the tribulation that get saved during that time. And if you think about even the name innumerable multitude, that doesn't make sense at all. You'd think, oh my goodness, now wait a second. You're telling me more people got saved in those first couple years going into the tribulation time than got saved in the entire church age over 2,000 years? You see, it doesn't make sense, does it? See, so I say, don't try to put our minds in this. Let's just let the Spirit rightfully divide the Word of God, and this all comes together very clearly for us. But see, that's the reason that the name Innumerable Multitude is given, is because this company includes every saint saved during the church age up until this moment here in chapter 7 that did not attain to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, that precious company will be with him. That company is those that are in Smyrna and Philadelphia, believers. And I'm here to tell you, that's why it's called the innumerable multitude, brothers and sisters, because virtually almost all of God's precious people are going to be in that group. See, why do you think he called it a rib portion from the very beginning? Now, if you really think of my rib to my body, and as you get older and wider, your rib is actually even a smaller portion of your bigger body. As it grows, see, and same thing. See, the rib, I guess I best not go that way. Might get some letters and phone calls. But it really is the truth. You think of your rib to your body, what are we talking about, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1%? He even shows us in nature, doesn't he? See, and he told us from the very beginning, it's a small portion of God's family. And unfortunately, most of God's precious people, they don't want the whole counsel of God. They want to be entertained. They want to feel. They want to have sensationalism. They want to either be carnal in the sense of the Corinthians, or they want to be carnal as those that were fooling the Galatians in being legal. But if you go after all grace, let me tell you something. The rib company awaits you. Praise his name. All right. So, we know that again, these are these precious ones that have been saved over the church age. The innumerable company will have with it the saved ones whose bodies have even remained in their graves for almost 2,000 years that missed God's best. Do you know that? It's the truth. And you think, well, why would that not be hard to believe anyways to understand? You think about God and how the church of Smyrna, which will be part of the four living ones, which is the full overcomers in Christ Jesus. Those Smyrna saints, their bodies, they remain in their grave right now, like Paul and Silas, and they're waiting to be raptured right along with the ones that attain and remain alive till the first trump, the Philadelphia saints. So see, that same pattern, that same type is at that point too, with the innumerable multitude. And this is important, brothers and sisters, because the Bible is perfect in its self. It is. There's no perfection like the Word of God. And every man will be in his own order. Every man will be in his own rank. Nothing's hard for God. He will keep you in that grave state until your rank and order is ready to be called. Amen? That's the truth. So we know that even as we read about those full overcomers in the Old Testament, it wasn't until Matthew 27 that those ones were given their glorified bodies, that some were made in that perfect state of that completion of their glorified bodies. But it said not all of the graves were opened at that time. It just said many of the graves. And thanks be to God that we know that, again, nothing is hard for God. It's always going to be at his time. That rapture is going to happen his way. So that, I believe, is a good way to start this study. But tonight, for the rest of the night, I'm led to highlight the qualities of the innumerable multitude and compare them with the first rank four living one company that will rule and reign jointly together and be glorified together with the bride, the Lamb's wife. And first off, I want you to notice there in verse 9 of Revelation 7, this innumerable multitude stands in regard to the throne. And you'll notice there in verse 9, it says that they are before the throne. And you think of Jude, verse 25, it says that they're the ones that behold the glory. And there's a big difference there, brothers and sisters. You know, obviously, the four living ones are seated in the midst of the throne with him. They're seated right in the middle of the throne, the ruling and reigning company. Whereas the innumerable multitude is standing before that throne. They're observing the glory. Whereas the four living ones, praise be to God, they don't observe the glory. They have the glory. They've been made it for him. As it says there in Revelation 21:11, the bride, the Lamb's wife, is seen descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Amen. And these are wonderful distinctions to see, and that the Lord will have his glory. And the woman is the glory of man. And again, he is not complete. He will not take that throne until he has her, until he has that wife to share in. And praise the Lord for this innumerable host that's there, but they sure do not have the brilliance or the status or the glory, as it says here, of the four living ones. Now next, even in that verse 10, and I'll tell you, the Lord just gets with, or verse 9, the Lord gets with it right down to the detail here. It says, they stood before the Lamb, before the throne, and they were clothed with white robes. And this word white means light. Wonderful. Brilliant white. And it means a sign of innocence and purity. Now that's wonderful. And I thank God for that. That it is a brilliant white. And that it is a sign of innocence and purity. That's what that word white means, but I want you to compare that with the garments that are worn by the four living ones. And let's turn over to Revelation chapter 19, and let's read verses 7 and 8. And in 19, 7 and 8, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, if we just read through that, we would say, well, it's clean and white. It's got to be just kind of like the ones there that have the white robes, because that's the same white, but it's not. It's a whole different ballgame, praise be to God. It's a whole different brilliance. And let's study this out here for a moment in this Revelation 19:8. First of all, that fine linen, it says that word there, the first one, clean. And that word clean, it means a vine cleansed by pruning. Would you ever think that that's what the word clean would mean? How about suffering together with him? See how much she's like the Lamb? See, it's not, behold Jesus the King, the mighty God. It's no, behold the Lamb. He's beautiful in his suffering. He's the most precious. The wife is the Lamb's wife. Those holes in his hands and in his feet and his pierced side, there's nothing more beautiful. And that's how she is to him. She is clean. She is the vine cleansed by pruning. Now, I want to go a little further with this. Turn over to Revelation 15:6. It's a Bible study. So we'll just rejoice in how much he loves us tonight. How's that? It says in 15:6, and the seven angels came out of the temple. And remember, we studied on those angels, those seven angels. That's four living ones. It's praise be to God. How, again, those are those messengers. And A lot of people say, well, why does the Lord refer to them as four living ones here and thunderings and lightnings over there and, oh, now they're angels over here. And well, wait a second. I think the Lord can be a lamb. He can be a lion. You know, he can be a man. Come on now, a calf. He can be a shield and a buckler, a high tower. Get it? Don't ever try to corner God. You never will. He just corner you every single time. You weren't even close. Read the word, and it manifests itself. But it says, and the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. And here's again how you would know the seven angels are the precious bride. Clothed in pure and white linen. Okay, you say, well, wait a second, that said pure and white. Well, that word pure is the same word we just read, clean. It means the vine cleansed by pruning. It's the same garment, pure and white. Same words as we read here in Revelation 19, verse 8, where it says clean and white. It's the same clothing because it's the same company. And praise be to God. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord is magnifying again that she's been tested in all manners. Praise the Lord. She's come out of that wonderful pruning again and again and again, bringing forth much fruit. She's my fruitful one. Praise be to God. She's my wife. And this is such a wonderful revelation of it. Now, we'll read this same word again. Revelation 21:18. Let's go over there. And you'll see, it says, and the building, now remember, this is speaking of that New Jerusalem, the city, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. I think you remember that precious stone, don't you? The one that's like him. And the city was pure gold. That word pure again. It means a vine cleansed by pruning gold, like unto clear glass. Let me tell you something. He's going to show her off. And he's going to show off, praise be to God, how complete that she suffered together with me. I will make known unto them that I have loved thee. This is beautiful. This makes those sufferings not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Amen? This is it. This is more of that evidence. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Yes, endure. Be still. Press on. Endure the hardness as good soldiers. In due time, I will exalt thee. And here's how I'm going to do it. He didn't just tell you that. He's showing you. He's rejoicing in this joint suffering. See, you've got to go back to Romans 8:18. That yes, all those precious children of God are heirs of God, but joint heirs, if so be that ye suffer together with me. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say that you do all these works for me, or that you gave all your money to the poor, or that you had faith to move mountains, or any of this. That you suffer together with me. Because that suffering together with him proves one thing, that you love him. That you love him. That you love him more than anything. As he said, you're not worthy to come after me if you think these things. And he got right to the family, didn't it? Mother, father, sister, brother, all that stuff. He was going right to the heart of our nature. If that's more important. And I heard it just the other day. It was sweet. One of the sisters went and saw some family. And I guess this one was storing up all sorts of ammunition and food and all these things. Jesus is coming and I'm getting ready to hold him off. Well, she was. She didn't realize what truth she was speaking. And thank the Lord that that sister said, but I'm getting ready to go up. I'm getting ready to be taken out before that time. But it was sweet what this sister said. Well, I've got kids to take care of, and they need me. And them neighbors want everything we got, so we got to watch that. I just started laughing. But see, that's how some people think. Lovest thou me more than these, you see? And that's it. That's right to the heart of the matter. Didn't realize even what truth she was speaking. But she was speaking the truth for herself. You know what? You are. With that thought, with that heart, you will go into that. You'll be one of these that will be taken out from the tribulation. Yeah. So, the Lord, I'll tell you what, he'll have us testifying. You'll find yourself in one of those seven churches, won't you? And that's how it is. Now, let's go on with even a little bit more here in this 20, where were we? All over the Bible, aren't we? Praise the Lord, that's where we want to stay. But in the 19th chapter, let's go back to the 8th verse. So it said there, arrayed in fine linen, clean. So we just looked at the word clean for a minute. Now let's go over the word white. That white, brothers and sisters, it's not just light. Remember the other one, the white robes for the innumerable multitude meant brilliant, white, sign of innocence and purity. This white means lampros. It means brilliant, clear, transparent, and I love the last word. It says gorgeous. Huh? You know, I think the only word I think about, well, now make a lot of people blush, but gorgeous, you know right where he's going with that. I think that's the Shulamite. That's the ravishing. Honey, it's all yours. That's the lampros white. This is the array, the fine linen of the bride, the Lamb's wife, and what she will wear. And there's two other verses in Revelation that describe the events in heaven that use this same word. And there's only two that, again, that describe the events in heaven in Revelation. And I'd like you to turn to Revelation 22:1 and thinking of that word white, the lampros gorgeous. Okay? So in Revelation 22:1, we read, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." And that word clear right there is the same word, gorgeous. Isn't that wonderful? The water of life, gorgeous as crystal. Okay, so think of that. Again, him, his word, his wonderful spirit. And then in Revelation 22:16, this kind of sends me over the top thinking of this. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright or gorgeous and morning star." She's like him. Again, just like, remember the jasper? That's her and that's him. They're the same, praise be to God. This is her light. This is his glory. And as we've rejoiced many times there in Revelation 21:23, where it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Let me tell you something. The glory of God did lighten it. That's her. The very light, praise God, of that city. The glory of God in her. And I thank the Lord how this comes forth. And he just continues to build and build on it. But there's a lot more here, so we got to get going. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 7. And we haven't even got out of the 9th verse yet, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to pray for me. All right. So it says, again, of this innumerable multitude that no man could number, was before the throne, clothed with white robes, and now palms in their hands. Now you can see this. These are palm wavers. You've heard that expression. The innumerable multitude take a servant state. That's how they're typed in heaven. And that's what they take right now. Again, as opposed to the four living ones, that bridal company in 5:10, they praise the Lord that they've been made kings and priests unto God, and that they're jointly ruling and reigning. They're not serving. They have crowns, praise be to God. As the Lord tells us, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy palm." You laughed, didn't you? You know better than that. You can have the palm. I don't want that. Praise the Lord. Mary has chosen the better part. Leave her alone, Martha's. It's all over the Word of God, isn't it? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord turned the light on in your heart for that? Praise the Lord. But this is no story. This is ours. Praise God. This is what He has for us. This is what awaits those that are patiently awaiting. And brothers and sisters, the choice of this is being made right now. We are either living the abundance of grace, occupying as His readied wife, or we are only as a child going through this. Just like in Galatians 4:1 that the Lord has us repeating over and over and over, if you don't grow up as the little Lord of all, your knowledge, your enjoyment will be nothing more than a servant in the kingdom. How much more clear could it be? Those dots are connected so over and over and over throughout the Word of God. It's wonderful to see. The Lord has a place for you. He sees that place for you. He's given you everything. His life, His blood, His Holy Spirit. Praise God. The power of His might to guide us into all truth. That's what's so amazing about this age. It's so wonderful about this church age. That's why we do have a better resurrection that's given to us. That's why we do have a better thing that's given to us. It's all right there for us, isn't it? And praise be to God. But it will never be anything more if we don't grow up into Him in all things. If we don't grow in what? In grace. And in what? And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's either crown glory doctrine. Did you hear me? It's either crown glory doctrine or it's going to be servant speak. What do you want to hear? And that's the truth. But that's what the majority of Christianity preaches today. Servant speak. It's all they know. That's all they preach. Let's do missions upon missions upon missions upon missions. I thank God however Christ is preached. But once they pass salvation, they don't go any further. I thank God for that. It is. You have to be saved. It's wonderful. But again, that is the very, very, very beginning of it all. And that, and as we move to verse 10, here it is. It gets even more telling. And what do they cry? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? It is wonderful. But that's only the beginning. But that's all they know. That's all they can speak of. And isn't that the same today? When you go into most meetings, and I hear this, all I hear is the same thing. It's a wonderful thing. But once that foundation is laid, go on. Go on. I love when people might get upset. All you preach is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank God. How could I preach anything else but for the grace of God? You see, this is what it is. It's about growing up. And thank the Lord that in all of that preaching, salvation is always there. That blood, praise God, is always there. But the blood and what it means and what it is, the salvation is just the very beginning. That eyes are fixed upon that mercy seat, praise God, and all that blood, you realize, whoo, you talk about power in the blood. The power, praise God, to grow me up into Him in all things. It's all right there, praise His name. But see, they cry salvation to our God, but the bride, praise the Lord, is the true worshiper. And remember the word worship, this is very important. One who draws nigh in fervent love to kiss. Remember that. Never forget that. Lord, just write that upon our hearts. But see, they're crying salvation to our God. But let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5, 9, and 10 and see what the bride is crying here. As well as the 24 elders that sing this precious song. Let's go ahead and read verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Boy, I'll tell you, there's no palms in that in their hands, are there? They're really entering into that with the Lord. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now there's your salvation, isn't it wonderful? They redeemed us to God. Wonderful. They have that. And you can't have anything beyond until you have that. So they have it, but it didn't end there, did it? Went right to the whole enchilada of the whole thing. And hast made us, what? Unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Praise the Lord. They are ruling and reigning. It's not just a salvation cry. It's praising the Lord for his wonderful blood. But praise God for the power in that blood that has grown us up into him in all things and now has us kings and priests, not ones with as servants with palms in our hands. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, now back to chapter 7. And we'll move down to the 15th verse. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Now, there's more emphasis here again. He's warning. This is a warning. And it really is a warning to us. They're before the throne. They're not in it. And they're serving. They're not worshiping. And I want to turn right over to John 4:23. And let's read that together. That's John chapter 4, verse 23, because this is our rejoicing, brothers and sisters, because we know this gospel. And this is the message that's being preached to us right now. And it says in John 4:23, but the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. See the emphasis in that worship? And that worship. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Worshiping is not singing a song till I'm blue in the face for 4 hours or 2 hours or 1 hour or 30 minutes until I'm mesmerized. That is not worship. I know that's what everybody calls praise and worship. That is not praise and worship. Praise and worship is the four living ones and what they do. They praise and worship him in thanksgiving to him for the grace of God, for knowing the truth that, Lord, you have grown me up into all of this. You gave me that freely given grace to give me the faith to believe the full counsel of God. That's praise and worship. That's what this is. Worship is drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss my bridegroom. That's worship. You get it? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. And this is what it is. And we do get, it's not to get mean about it, but it's defensive. I mean, this is my love. And you do stand in defense of that gospel by his grace. You do stand in defense of that love. You're thankful for it. We're not ashamed of that gospel of Christ. I am proud of my bridegroom. And I understand it all comes from the head. But you see, brothers and sisters, it's not going to just somehow just happen up there. These are the ones that it's happening in right now. They're drawing nigh unto him now. Amen? Now. This is it. He's the author and finisher of our faith now. And this is it. We're in the time. But there's going to be a time that shall be no more. A time to get ready that will end. And it could be at any moment. But praise be to God, they get it. These ones that love him, that are drawing nigh now. That Jesus is in love with them. I love that. He's in love with us. And he wants us to be his bride. He wants us to be his wife. And they draw nigh by faith in his love. See, it's faith in his love. It's not faith in my love. It's faith in his love. Amen? I love him because he first loved me. I have faith in his love. The Bible tells us that we would know, his desire is that we would know the love of Christ. Amen? And if his love was just salvation love, if that was it, it's amazing. I'm not making light of that. It's incredible in its depths. But that wrap-up would have happened a long time ago. But to know the love of Christ, to know that depth, and to draw nigh by faith in his love, in his scriptures, and believe and take in all the transforming grace. And if that will happen in your life, you will know one thing. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Yes, you'll know that. There will be a confidence in grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, we can be confident in the grace of God. And that's really the only thing ever be confident in. Because anything else, you're going to miss it. But I'm confident that his grace is sufficient, that it's always there, always, and to superabound to every good work. And in that grace, it's for me to win his best. Amen. So, it's a precious, wonderful revelation. See, it's such a type of sweet Esther when she went before him. And it really speaks to me. See, Esther didn't even know if she was going to survive. She just went. She still believingly went. But she didn't have the fullness of the knowledge of beyond the veil. You see what I'm saying? You see that other type even in that? But yet, that was a prophet in a sense. This was the word of God prophesying to us, being written. Didn't even know really what this meant, but it was for us. And it is beautiful. But praise be to God, we go boldly before him. And we know that clothed in his grace, clothed in his precious righteousness, he's ravished. And yes, honey, what's mine is yours. Praise be to God. All right, let's go to verse 16, and we'll start to close this out tonight. It says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. It reveals a pretty sad state, doesn't it? You know, if I was going to pick up my bride or my wife, I would hope she would be a lot happier than this. Kind of get it? There's a difference of expectation here, isn't there? This is a huge thing. This is beautiful, how God brings this out to us. It reveals their sorrow. This reveals a redemption as a relief. It's like they're relieved to be redeemed. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm, when I talk about my face-to-face meeting with the Lord, I don't want to think of it as relief. I have said this many times. I would always tell people, you know, if your bride-to-be really just wants to be with you to get out of the house because it's so bad, don't do it. That's a bad sign. And let me tell you something. God the Father knows the one for his son. And she will not be like this wanting a relief. That ain't going to be that way. It's going to be first love. It's going to be I'm head over heels in love with your son. Now, you can see this redemption as a relief of this innumerable multitude. It's again like a servant, isn't it? You hear even in these words, there's a straining, there's a hunger, there's a heat of the day. They're going to be relieved from their, in a sense, their servantry. and how they've been living their lives. Whereas the redemption of the bride, the Lamb's wife, it's a glorious, triumphant event. She is caught away. She is an expecting bride, just awaiting when he will come. It doesn't mean that she's sitting in the lotus land of ease. Shoot, there's trials going on. There's sorrows going on. You name it's going on. But she's not in that. She's not caught up into that. Her mind is so far from that because it's on him and his love for her, and his appearing is her continuing abounding joy. That's it. Praise the Lord. That's who she is. She lives that life, I'm seated in the heavens with him. She lives that life of, he's coming for me. Yeah, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. She almost missed it for a moment, didn't she? When she looked at the myrrh in her hands when he was at the door to get her, she looked down just at a moment, and he was gone. He was expressing to her, honey, there's two things we're going to get right now. First of all, I love you just the way you are. Don't you think you need to go touch up a thing because you can't do a thing, little lump of clay? Amen. All right? And secondly, I'm sending these beautiful trials for you. And it's suffering. And it just as I said the other day, I know the Word of God tells us. It's not joyous for the moment. I'm not kicking up my heels in a sense when these sorrows and really painful things hit. But God help it to be just a moment. And man, I look into that word and just what we've been reading tonight. Oh, there she is, the one that was pruned into perfection. Here's how clear and pure she is. Look at her. Huh? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful how he tells us these things? And he shows us these things, and they become our own. See, the innumerable multitude, brothers and sisters, it's a relief to exit out. As opposed to the Lamb's wife, it's a groaning to be united in wedlock with him. Yeah, there's a big difference. Praise God. Verse 17, and we'll close it out. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, first of all, it says there the Lamb feeds them and leads them. And yes, the Lamb does feed and lead us. It's wonderful. I'm so thankful to God. But that's what they have, and that's what they rejoice in. And again, it's more as that of, and it's showing that even in heaven, this is continuing there in the sense, like little children, fed and led and those types of things. Whereas the four living ones, brothers and sisters, we've rejoiced in this last couple weeks, they're directing the wrap-up of the judgment of the earth. Amen. They're bringing it on. They're ruling and reigning jointly with him. They're pouring out the plagues. They're announcing the seals. They're delivering the bowls of wrath. They are truly leading and conducting it jointly with him. And what a union he has made with her. And then that final statement, I believe, says it all. It says that the tears shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And all I can express to you is that's a life that really does see at that moment what could have been. What could have been? I missed it. And brothers and sisters, only by grace I pray, Lord, by your grace, never let me know that anguish. I don't want to know that. Amen? And we don't have to know that. Amen? Because he's for us. And he's given us a promise. I'll perfect it. I'll perform the good work which I've begun. I trust him for that. I believe him for that. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I have already apprehended. I know by his grace better than anything to say that. But I'll tell you one thing. I know he's able. And I know that I'm trusting the one keeping which I've committed unto him. Amen? That's right. And let's not be moved from that. And let's pray for one another for that. Again, that the confidence is never in us because we missed it. The confidence is all in his grace. And praise God, we'll receive it. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.